And that was Dutch Discs for another week. Apologies to those of you on Facebook who just had to restart the video. Well, we're back, Ange. We're back for a new season of the Sunday Sports Show in a new league. Still the same depression, I think. Go on, Ange. Any
and
comments?
It's now time for the Sunday Sports Show.
Thank you.
Goal that took Stoke City back to Wembley for the first time in 20 years. Young Paul Ware crashing at home from a free kick.
Ricardo Ford scored for Stoke! And Stoke City with 10 men are ahead!
And that is a superb strike by Hoekstra. He's hit it first time and he's hit it absolutely brilliantly.
And once again, Arsenal have been undone by a Stoke long throw.
This is always a lot. And all these names are not different.
Good evening, and as Russ said, we're back. We were hoping that if we started the show after a home game, we'd have loads to talk about in terms of 6 points on the board, but obviously that's failed. Bit depressing, but I keep telling myself that the loan window is going to be magical for us. You can get in touch with us in the usual way. You can tweet, you can email studio@notfm. I'm sure one or two of you will call in later. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I promised to read this message out first. It's from Dave Palin in Australia. He said that he thought he's getting a bit fed up of paying £5 already to watch football on a stream, although I think the stream was very good, Dave. Other than that, he thought the last 15 minutes of the first half, we showed good quality, but the majority, we were where we've been for the last two seasons. We looked vulnerable on counter-attacks, lacked pace going forward, we were isolated, the striker had no help, and we lacked any imagination in the final third. What we need going forward in the loan market is game changers who have pace, i.e. wingers, striker and some defensive cover at left back. He then goes on, as I say, to say if he don't read it out in the 10 minutes, he's going on strike next week. So, Russell, what's your thoughts about that?
Well, what can you say, Ange? Obviously it'll all come out over the course of the next couple of hours, but I don't think the vast majority of us expected us to start as quite as bad as we have in relation to performance levels. I thought, you know, we'd actually show some quality in both games. It's fair to say that it came as a bit of a shock to the system, I think, last week when we went to Leeds. I mean, normal times you'd think that's a difficult game anyway, you know, going to Leeds. It's a club with a lot of history, big support. I just thought it was an embarrassing watch. I mean, you were there, Ange, most of us were watching at home. Went yesterday. I'm not sure what I actually expected, to be honest. I expected better than what I saw last week. And I don't know what people think at home, but I thought we got worse. I thought we got worse than we got last week, to be honest. I think the first 28 minutes before the minutes of applause for Samantha Eastwood, when we actually scored from that gift by the Brentford defender, I think that first 28 minutes was just, well, you know, I think people would complain. People might want to complain about Shaqiri and people like that, you know, and didn't put a shift in and things like that. Well, at least he could trap a ball, at least he could pass it, at least he could cross occasionally, at least he could take a free kick. The list goes on. The players, and I, you can see from some of my comments after the game yesterday where I managed to fit in between the friends we had here. I'm afraid
that explodes that myth, then.
Yeah,
it?
But I don't have many. But I think the real issue we've got at the moment comes from the top of the playing tree in respect to the captaincy at the club. Ange, The lad who we've adored over the years, who is rightly called a legend and whatever, the captain of the club, supposed to lead by example. And in the first 10 minutes yesterday, the first home game of a new season, he just wasn't switched on. He wasn't at the races. made some dreadful mistakes and could have cost us a couple of goals even in the first 10-15 minutes. And that just, I think the actual, starting the game, the actual, from the centre circle, Ange, we kicked it straight out of play. Do you remember that, Ange, or is it that far away? I mean, it was just abysmal, that from the start, you know, that wasn't worked on and worked out what they were going to do, just kicked straight out by Fletcher. But like I say, I think we've got to have a serious look, and Gary Rowett, I think, is going to have to bite the bullet at some point or another over the next few weeks, and the legend is going to have to be dropped, and he's going to have to get a starting centre-back in to partner Ashley Williams, for starters, and that's just for starters. The midfield that I thought was going to absolutely dominate this league if it stayed together, of Ndiaye, Thibaut and Allen, now looks just, well, now is already not happening, for starters, because it looks like Ndiaye's on his way. If his tweet today is anything to go by.
That's a false account.
Oh, is it a false account? Yeah. It's followed by the club and everybody, apparently. So, but anyway, but he wasn't involved, was he? So he didn't play. So, and it was made to look very ordinary last week by Leeds. And I genuinely thought that midfield would absolutely, you know, dominate the game, and it didn't. Afobe so far, he scored 2-2. To me, he doesn't look the powerhouse forward I actually thought he was, and the athlete I thought he was. And I just think he's not physical enough in the challenge and anything like that. But like I say, going back to Shawcross, for me, he's lost, talking about physicality, he's lost all that physicality, which was one of his big attributes, the fact that nobody wanted to play against him. He's lost his mobility. And that just is a... I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, Ange, because it's the first show, so my words aren't probably coming out as well as they have done in
the past.
There's
a lot of them, Russ.
But he's supposed to be the talisman for the team, and I think he is the talisman for the team in respect to the fact that we're older, we're slower than the other side so far that we've played, and that seems to be a trend on watching the Championship game so far. Stoke are miles off, Ange.
Well, firstly, for those of you that are still listening, we did have a new theme tune for tonight. It's obviously the same music because we like the music, but it was just a silent track. But Russ, as he said, thought that he would change things around at the last minute, at the 11th hour, because he feels it will bring us luck. Well, many years ago, there was a magician called David Nixon, and we're going to need him to pull some rabbits out of a hat in the loan window and also make the defensive rubbish disappear. Firstly, when I saw we were favourites to go straight back up, I did think somebody must know that we're going to buy a whole new defence, because how anybody can expect that defence, who was the worst in Europe last season, to suddenly change round and become the best in the Championship is clearly on the same loopy juice that you've been drinking when you came out with that ridiculous statement, build it and they will come. And
how long has that taken?
Well, it's taken less than it took me to tweet
less
you.
Less than my 10-minute tirade.
Being absolutely honest, there are three or four things I'd like to ask people if they'd like to comment on tonight. Because we're now in the Championship and Sky will only attend our press conferences when we're on TV, so they'll probably be there next Friday, we do get a chance as local press to ask more questions to Gary Rowett. I, on Friday, asked him if he had the last say with all the signings, in and out, and he agreed he did. He also said that he wanted to strengthen in the loan window, which is patently obvious we have to. My belief is, given that he has said he's happy with his strikers, and he has said he's happy with those, two of those being Diouf and Berahino, that he's not going to go for a striker. It's clear we need a winger. We need a central defender and a left back. And God, oh God, do we need somebody in the midfield that's got legs and can be destructive and creative. Who those people are going to be we're getting in on loan, I don't know. I know you've put a tweet out to say, do you think he's been backed? I will stick my neck out now and say, if... I believe if Gary Rowett had wanted another striker, the football club would have paid for another striker. He is happy with Afobe, who has scored 2-2, right? He will play, as he played at Derby, with one striker. The problem we've got is who's going to be playing behind that striker. And as much as I think Bojan's been a brilliant player for Stoke City, he is not going to be that person. He drifted in and out. He had two or three chances to pull the trigger yesterday, and he chose not to. You look at the defence, and for the 15 minutes after we were given the gift goal, everybody seemed much better. It's very difficult when you've played a sport for so long, and we haven't won a home game since, is it January the 12th?
January.
We haven't looked like winning a game, and everybody who said yesterday to me, oh, these are all going to come and think it's a cup final, I don't think they are. I think they're going to look at us and say, these are rubbish at home. They haven't won since January the 12th. We can turn them over. And the last thing I'm going to say is that, well, for a while, Brentford were fitter, faster, more hungry than us, and played really good football. And I remember saying to you at the end of last season, if people think we are going to walk out of this championship, they have not watched the championship. And I will make a prediction now, like my sleepwalking to disaster prediction last year. If this squad stays the same, we will be nearer the bottom of the championship table than the top. You need 80 goals at least to get up. Who is going to score 80 goals? The whole team haven't got 80 goals in them. And we could probably concede 100.
Well,
rant over.
Well, no, it's not really. It's not rant. It's truth. You know, it's fact. And two of the facts that actually come out of the things that you've just said there is we've now spent, I think it's 55 to 60 million pounds
since
Nzonzi, trying to replace Nzonzi, and we've got nowhere near doing it so far. And the other thing that is a fact coming out of what you've just said about 80 goals is it's nearly 20 years since we had a player playing for this club who scored 15 goals himself, Peter Thorne.
Yeah.
You know, so we haven't managed to find a striker who could score more than 15 goals a season. And that includes cup games, Ange. You know, when we've had a lot of cup runs, you know, we had, you know, under Tony, we had a lot of games because we've got, you know, we got to quarterfinals of League Cups, finals of the FA Cup, and we still couldn't find a 15 goal season striker, Ange.
It is frightening. Before you get onto Twitter, on the oatcake, Jacob says, happy new season. Least of our worries, but having got a new fixture card for the season, I can't believe that the club haven't checked the sizing of the new ones. Unlike the two-sided cards from last season, the new ones are bigger than the credit card size, season ticket size, so not ideal for most wallets, phone cases. Obviously, the people at the club that matter don't use them. On a more positive note, despite the very disappointing start to our season, once the loan transfer window closes, our new manager and the squad can work together to get a combination of players who give us the best chance of success. I really hope that Bojan stays. It seems inevitable that Choupo will move on. Hopefully we can loan out a few more or sell them to a foreign club. Leeds away was always going to be a very tough game, and as it turned out, a massive blow for our confidence. A couple more shrewd loans and we should be fine. In answer to your question about the cards, Jacob, they still are doing the small ones that you alluded to, the ones that will fit in your wallet. But yes, I saw some of the bigger ones and I thought, they're a bit big. Linfit Stokey says, welcome back to the new season. Here's just what we expected. Tough tackling, no diving or rolling about for 5 minutes, just fast, non-stop, flowing football right now onto Stoke. I know the new players need time to gel, but the ones that were here last year look terrified, mainly the back four. Ryan and Indy just don't look like a partnership. I think that's the biggest problem. Who to replace and with who, I don't know. I know Williams played well, but we need younger, and the younger lads we have aren't ready yet by the sounds of it. I don't know, I haven't seen them play. I live in Huddersfield, so don't get much chance to watch, but you can, of course, now watch Sobby.
Well, what a joy for him. Jamie Heath says on Facebook, we need to pull something out of the hat in this loan window. He says we look so lethargic again. At the moment, we look better under Lambert and Hughes last season. Ange.
Yeah, the one thing I'll say about Gary Rowett, and apart from him talking a really good game, which, let's say, Mark Hughes did at the start, and Lambert tried his best, he was clearly, after that match yesterday, not at all happy, as you would expect.
No.
And he does say the right things, which I'm sure he will say in the changing room, that you can have the best names on paper, But if you don't perform on the pitch, you aren't going to be in that team. And the other thing I will say about Choupo-Moting, people are saying that they would like to see him in the team rather than McLean. I'll just say Gary Rowett wanted McLean. He was pleased we got McLean. Gary Rowett wanted Ince. We got Ince. I believe at this moment in time, whatever we think of our board, they want us to be back in the Premier League. If they didn't have the massive wake-up call before yesterday, when there was at least 6,000 empty seats in that stadium, boxes closed, people able to walk down at half-time and get a beer or a cup of tea because there was no problems in the concourse. I know there were problems with people getting in. That was largely due to the anti-terrorism police who chose to use Stoke as a testing site yesterday. I saw the melee at the Bowden End. But going back to the point in question, I cannot believe that the owners of the club will not give him whatever he wants this season to try and get up. And going back again to Choupo-Moting, I saw him walking around the pitch before the start, signing autographs. I saw him come out at the game at the end signing autographs. And I know little kids will ask for autographs, but these were grown men from a man who is purporting to be injured, along with Mbula, and training with the under-23s. It's not for me, Choupo-Moting. If you're not prepared to play for us and you think Huddersfield is not a good enough move for you, then I'd suggest you just pack your bags and go.
Right. How about that? This is only the start, by the way. And it's not me ranting this time. It's you.
I'm not ranting. And you've just missed the James Heath comment there. I wanted to see what that was. Because if it's my mate James Heath... Do you like my new glasses, James? I could recommend you to a good optician.
It's Jamie Heath, by the way. You need an optician.
James Heath is the optician. But anyway, we've missed what he said. Sorry.
I will come on to that.
Sorry,
in a minute.
I apologize.
There are so many tweets, and as you can see from the listener numbers, we're astonishingly, there's more people listening even than last year at the moment. So
it's because they're not going to go to the match anymore.
It's
they
phenomenal. Thank you so much for listening. If you're watching or listening, because we're so grateful, there we go.
Forever grateful.
Forever grateful, but not for them. Not to them at the moment, at least. Mark Green says, we've not done anywhere near enough in the transfer window, says Mark.
Agree.
I'm going to go on to the polls as well in a minute, which cover some of this. Some of them are already damning. Martin Eagle says, we want a left back and we want a striker. Well, you've already heard Angie's comments on that he may not want one. Jamie Wolford says, we're a joke on and off the pitch at the moment, in his view. Potter's SCFC01 says, I still believe we will come good after a number of games. No real pre-season. Whose fault was that? And I think the manager is fully aware of what's required to put things right. On that point, Ange, I think another thing that most people wouldn't have backed if they were betting was our new manager slaughtering the team after two games.
I don't think anybody
would have expected that. Simon Dickin says, we want a left back, defensive midfielder, striker and centre half. Well, funnily enough, Simon, as Andrew will verify, in this little circle here, I've written left back, right back with a question mark after yesterday's performance, centre back, defensive midfielder, winger and a striker. So you can tell what I think about what I watched yesterday. Wayne Adams says, we've done nowhere near enough, we're an absolute joke, and that's in relation to the squad. Andrew Mountford, which I think a lot of people will have some sympathy with, that it's not Gary Rowett's fault particularly that this has happened. We've still got an awful lot of dross, says Andy Mountford, a lot of dead wood, has-beens and never-wears that must be costing us a something fortune.
Yeah, and we've got players living on past reputations, and I'm pretty sure, following the boos yesterday, that some of those players will not be playing at Preston. If they are, God help us.
Potter's SCFC01 says that when I said, will he be backed before the end of the loan window, he says he'd like to think so. I think the club heard the fans' view yesterday, which, funnily enough, is just what you've said, which will be hard to ignore. The question is, are there players out there good enough to come in on loan? Matt Butler Street says, it's now abundantly clear that when our strategy was to spend big, but only when Jack Butland, Badou Ndiaye and Shaqiri had been sold. That's 60-odd million to spend in the Championship, which would be ridiculous money. As it transpires, we've sold Shaq on the cheap due to his release clause, and neither of the other two have left, which has probably put the spanner in the works, in his view. There's perhaps some merit behind that, Ange. Stokey73, who's been very, very anti and vocal about the club lately, and I'm not knocking you for that, you people are entitled to your opinion. He says, do the owners give a monkeys? Paraphrasing, they've heard the fans for 3 years. They don't appear to have given a monkeys so far.
But if you wanted me to answer that, I think they have to give a monkeys because they're going to lose a huge amount of revenue if we don't go up this year or next year. And I think there's more chance of platting fog with the current squad of us going up this year.
As Dom Smith will verify, before a ball was kicked this season, I said we would finish mid-table.
Well, I'd on take a personal that
message, where everybody else was saying, you know, well, not everybody, everybody who was publicly saying was saying we were going to go straight up.
When they came out the pub.
Yeah. John Farrar says, from the summer, following the Liverpool semi-final, they've got more wrong than right.
Yeah.
Far too many players brought in with no desire. Why weren't they signed players from lower league sides? It's ridiculous. We've already seen they're better than our has-beens. And people like Sawyers, was it yesterday, Romain Sawyers yesterday, just dominated the midfield, really. Matt says, again, it's true, but it's a bit late to spend it now, though. My point is that investment stroke improvement should have been made early on in acknowledgement of the poor squad that we were relegated with, regardless of the outgoings and sale proceeds. That would have given everyone a full pre-season together. There's so much that was said a couple of months ago, Ange, that hasn't come true. That's undeniable, isn't it, really? That's fact. Even the statement from the club after relegation that came out weeks after the relegation, didn't it? Where it said we were going to have a complete gut out of the squad and we're going to have a squad ready for promotion and all this, that and the other, and it's not really happened, has it?
No, but I'll go back to the point I made at the start of the show. I still believe that if Gary Rowett said, I want this player, Matt Ritchie, Stoke wanted Matt Ritchie, they would have paid the money for Matt Ritchie. Right, they wanted Gale. Gale was then ended up being in a pawn for Rondon and is now at West Brom. And West Brom have now got two people that can put the ball in the net. One that I wish we'd signed ages ago, but that's no point crying about it. The situation is we've got, 2-3 weeks of a loan window. In that time, I'm sure that they'll get rid of 4 or 5 players. And if they don't get rid of them, they won't be figuring. So they'll either pay up the contracts or leave them to rot somewhere. And they've got to get people in.
What is this causing behind the scenes, though, Ange? This can't be good, can it? People who know they've got no future at the club and they're just sort of like festering around is the best way I can put it.
Of course not. And that is a problem with any club when you've got a 25-man squad. I would think that if you looked at Newcastle yesterday talking about Matt Ritchie, he got taken off. And, I mean, he was apoplectic. And then you looked at Riyad Mahrez today. He got taken off. Keeping a 25-man squad happy, even when you're a very good team, is difficult. The problem we've got is we've got some players living on their past reputations. I don't think Ryan is fully fit. He led by example before. We have no leadership in that team now. You've got Fletcher, who I felt for yesterday when he got taken off, when one of our announcers at the club did what I've once done in talking, actually, called him Darren Ferguson. And I thought, my God, Darren Ferguson won't be very happy with that. But we all make mistakes. And it was just, again, he's made a mistake. He knows he's made a mistake. Most people were so fed up, they didn't even laugh.
I didn't even hear it.
They didn't even laugh.
I didn't even hear it.
But it's just symptomatic of the club at the moment. We're a mess. And I'm sure that the owners are not happy. You couldn't be happy if you'd invested all that time and money. And the thing that worries me most is we, 6 points off a chance of being in the top two places after 2 games. We've got a minus goal average again. It's very much looking like this is deja vu. And, you know, if you ask me how I would change it now, I don't know enough about the loan market, but if you ask me what I could do to change it, firstly, I would say you've got to be brave and get rid of the back four. Moritz Bauer's brilliant going forward, and when we signed him, somebody from the previous club said he's great going forward, but he loses people in defence, and he lost the person yesterday. The guy just drifted off him.
He disappeared.
Went past him. I don't think Tom Ince will do a great deal at Stoke. I certainly don't, and I'm not saying he didn't do better than most yesterday, but he was not a player I would have bought. I don't think that there's two reasons why you leave a Premier League club and go to a Championship club. One, because no other Premier League club wants you, or two, because you're going to get more money. Loyalty doesn't enter into it. McLean, irrespective of all this stuff about him wearing a poppy, he'll work his guts out, he'll try his hardest. Would I have signed him? No, on his football ability, because you look at his statistics, and at the end of the day, it's all about statistics. They're not brilliant. People moaned about John Walters, and yes, Mark Green, I hope you're listening. John Walters was like Messi compared to McLean, and he's buying players or bringing players in that he thinks will suit the Championship. Well, we got Gary Rowett because he's supposed to know this league inside out. Anything will tell him, and I'm sure after yesterday he realises how big a problem this is, that that back four has got to be ripped apart. And because we're treading on eggshells any time anybody goes forward. We look lost.
Well, look, I'm coming back to it again, Ange, and I don't want to keep going on about it, but at some point or another, some manager of this club's going to have to bite the bullet with this centre-half pairing and going to make a decision that some people will perhaps take an intake of breath about it initially. But the lad has gone. I firmly believe, as a footballer, he has gone physically. I'm sorry. You know, and people will maybe be shaking their heads at home. Some people may be nodding at home. But it gives me... I tell you, how many times have I said on this programme, regular listeners will know, this lad is my favourite player, not only because of what he's done, because I used to play the same position as him. Nowhere near to the standard he's managed to achieve it, but I've got a soft spot for this lad. But at some point, somebody's got to face him up with him and say, Luke Ryan, you know, you're nowhere near the player you were. Number one, you shouldn't be captain of the club because you're not leading by example. I'm not interested in whether people say he's vocal enough or anything like that. Football should be the number one priority in respect of how he's leading the side. And if he's making mistakes and he's looking slow and lethargic. You remember the show where I pointed it out one game last year where he was made to look like a oil tanker turning, you know, and somebody just, when he's got players running at him now, it's just, this is not, he's lost his physicality. People didn't want to play against Ryan Shawcross because he was a hard player. He never leaves the floor now, and, you know, going in for a tackle, let alone make a mark on someone. Physicality was his big attribute, and people didn't like playing against him because they knew they were going to get clobbered, or they knew he were going to be in for a very, very tough afternoon. Ashley Williams, in my opinion, showed in 75 minutes or however long he was on, I think it was something like that when Bruno Martins Indy went off, wasn't it, Ange, 20 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. He showed more in that 70 minutes than we've had from a centre-half in quite a while, I thought. And he did a lot of cleaning up for Shawcross. You know, mistakes from Shawcross. You can see why he wanted Chester now, Ange. Because I've got a feeling that he wanted Chester to replace Ryan. Possibly. As well as have Williams.
Possibly, but...
How many years has he been here now? 11?
I think so.
You know, these players can't carry on forever at whatever level.
No, they can't. But it's not just the defence. It's the whole squad.
I thought that was Joe Allen's worst game for Stoke yesterday, did you?
It was pretty close to Leeds and that was dire. But the whole squad is an ageing squad. And it's been going on for quite some time. And it has to stop, otherwise we're going to start regressing like Sunderland. Magwitch says on the Oatcake, pleased to see you back again after the calamities of last season. I was hoping for a more encouraging season this time and was pleased that Gary Rowett was appointed. However, the first two games have brought us all crashing down to earth. What is really worrying is that the old thoughts of last season are there, possibly even worse. The promised overhaul has still not taken place. The old bogeyman, Scholes and Cartwright, are still in control of recruitment, and the defence looks just as vulnerable despite Butland being still on the books. The signing of just one recognised striker is not enough, and the likes of Mbula, Berahino, Chupo and Ndai are still around, although probably have nothing much to contribute. I'm told the unique recruitment system is the contribution of John Coates. This is probably why they've stuck with it through thick and thin, despite its obvious shortcomings. I have a feeling that until they admit the whole thing has been a mistake, nothing much will change at Stoke. Hence, I expect another struggling season and no immediate return to the sunlit uplands of the Premier League. I do not blame Gary Rowett for any of this at the moment, and I believe he'll succeed in time if he receives the full support of the board. Incidentally, I'll watch Graham Potter at Swansea with a lot of interest. In fact, I suspect they could bounce straight back. And likely lad Gillismo says, good show again, guys. Our back four is a joke and Shawcross is toast. We need a left back, a centre half, a centre mid, a young nippy winger. We missed out on Barnes from West Boiler Albion. And that's in relation to the mascot.
Well, there you are. Yeah, the boiler, yeah. The Combi Boiler, yeah. No sponsor. Well, anyway, they managed to win yesterday 4-3, didn't they, at Norwich? Can you imagine us scoring four goals at the moment?
Can't imagine us scoring four this half of the season.
Yeah, and you'll find an interesting comment, actually, in the Gary Rowett interview, where he said something that he hoped wasn't going to be... he hoped it was going to be right and not wrong. It was actually wrong, and that was that... He said something to the effect of that the relegated side struggled early on in the season, and then he said, probably, I hope to God that the relegated teams haven't won today. Well, they both did.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Which makes his excuse about us look even more flimsy. Yeah.
But to be fair to the bloke, we're two games in, and if you look at last season's championship table, Newcastle had a poor start and went on and won. But Newcastle had goals in their team.
Correct.
And that
did
is...
Did you think we cocked up, Ange, with James Chester, because we thought we were going to get him for cheap money because we thought Aston Villa were in all sorts of financial trouble? Do you think if we'd have put a proper offer in for him early on, we'd have got him?
I've no idea. I've honestly no idea.
No, it's just an opinion, I think. Do you think we... I mean, you can understand perhaps where we thought we might try and save 5 million or so by, you know, going in low because they were in real trouble, or it looked like they were in real trouble. Now it doesn't look like they're in real trouble. But if we'd have gone in with a proper offer at the start, we might have got him.
Yeah, you know, we'll never know that. It's highly likely, but we've no idea knowing it. What I can't understand is, what I still can't get my head around is, you look at our squad... He may only want to play with one striker, but if Benik Afobe gets injured, and let's be honest, he scored a penalty and he scored a gift goal.
Correct. Right? Doesn't look like scoring any other
goal. Well, listen, Messi and Ronaldo will struggle because we don't create.
Yeah.
We run around like headless chickens. When Bauer bombs forward, he's out of position when they go. Everybody knows that they can break on us and just get through us. It's frightening.
I know.
Leeds looked like they would score last week every time they went forward.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were fit, they were up for it. And I'll tell you something else now. Preston will be in the top six at the end of the season, and there'll be another team that will slaughter us unless we can sort something out this week. They all play fast-attacking football now. We aren't changing with the times.
Well, like I say, the one thing that did me more than anything else last week watching it was how statuesque we were when they were passing the ball around. And I'm coming back to the captain again. You know, when there was little passing movements going on around the box, he was just statuesque. You know, it was like, I don't want to insult him by saying it was like passing around a bollard or something like that, but that's the way it looked. And this is a player who's been a colossus for us. Somebody who's been a man mountain at times, and at the moment he's a liability. And yesterday he was a liability. And somebody, at the end of the day, sometimes you've just got to be brave enough to say these things and take the bull by the horns. And we've got to stop giving some of these players in the age of 29, 30, 31 another 3 or 4 year contract, Ange. Them days are over.
So you look at the squad, and on the current squad, if you took him out of the team, Bruno Martins India is injured. I would look at somebody like Jeff Cameron to come into that team. and play central defence or defensive midfielder or whatever.
He hasn't been the same though for a while, has he?
But Jeff Cameron will probably leave this window because I don't think he's wanted at the football club anymore.
Yeah.
That's a worry when we've got so... People may not like him as a footballer, but he's got loads of Premier League experience. He's probably one of our more mobile players, even at the age he is, and he isn't figuring. That to me is a worry. If we have an injury, who on earth is going to play in those positions?
That's right. Yeah. We've got to get more in, haven't we?
Yeah, but we've got to get people that are better than the ones we've got. If you were a player now...
We have had since May, Ange.
If you were a player now and you were looking with 3 weeks to go and you were thinking, where can I play my football? I would suggest that Stoke City would be one of your last options.
Mm.
Because we're no good.
The comments after the game, you know what I said to you about them privately as well, from the captain.
Mm-hmm.
Them comments are just unbelievable. Against Leeds, I mean.
I'm not sure what you expect somebody to say.
Well,
the hardest thing of all when you've lost, you know, you've played sport, the hardest thing of all is to come out and say something positive. If you come out and say anything at all, you just want to get it over and done with and go.
But maybe the old guard, these type of players, are some of the reasons why there's still this attitude around the club of defeatism, which seems to be... Those comments were totally defeatist last week.
Shouldn't
be coming out of a captain's mouth.
People said, Dennis Smith said to me that footballers compartmentalise the season and they'll have just moved on. I don't believe that happens mentally. If you've not won a game, if you've won 5 games last season and a goal goes in the back of your net, I mean, at Leeds, the body language after the first Leeds goal went in was horrendous. Players were dropping their head, they looked like they'd had it. Yesterday, until we got that gift goal, first 20-odd minutes, well, it was awful, right? When we got that goal, for the next 15 minutes, we were okay. If we'd have scored, yeah, okay, Ince had one cleared off the line. Their keeper did not make another save.
In the game?
In the whole game, we did not test their keeper.
A lot to do with us not actually shooting when we should have done, mind you.
Well, I mean, Bojan, as I said, he that's lack of confidence.
Mm.
And as much as everybody wants to sing Ole, 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 Bojan, because we haven't got many more songs, if that's the best we can do, honestly... I despair.
Well, Paul Woodward says, in criticism of the club again, see what you think of this. He says, what the hell were we doing billing £1 million for Jonas Knudsen from Ipswich, a Danish international who played in the World Cup, and hoping we were going to get away with pulling that deal off? Did we really want him or not?
I've no idea.
If you want a player, you know, what we're doing.
But he's gone nowhere, has he?
No.
So... Does that mean we were the only people who just took a punt on him as a bid? Or maybe his agent said that we could get him. Nobody else has taken him. And did you know him before? I didn't know him.
No. Well, I think we're getting a pretty good idea of the Championship after 2 games, Angie. We're realising that it was better than we thought. Better than I certainly thought. Dan Eyre says, no, Jeff is not a central defender, he says. I think he's a great defensive midfielder and has previously played there with some success. Jamie Heath says, is Bruno Martins injured? Yes, Gary Rowett said he'd pinched his Achilles tendon or something yesterday and they won't know for a couple of days what how difficult it is. He says, we may have no choice but to play Ryan still. Dean Merritt says, Afobe will score goals, or Adobe as he calls him, which everybody is calling him because of spell check. Jeff would have put that chance over the bar.
Yeah, he says that
the one where he was running through, or he may not have even been running after it, as he lost
probably
course.
Fallen over.
We didn't get Chesty, says Ian Mellor, because we were trying to get him for nothing, and he's not very happy about the board ruining the club, or someone on the board ruining the club. Paul Woodward says no way Russ with Scholes with the pierced strings. That's presumably about what I was saying about Chesty. Nigel Carr's got a question for you, and he says, can you see Jack Butland being here for the whole of the campaign?
Yes.
Or will he go in January? Also, I'm pleased Crouch has stayed, top man and a club legend.
Well, if you go on to... Firstly, I think Jack Butland will spend the whole season here. His career hasn't exactly gone the way he wanted it in the last 12 months. In terms of Crouch, I thought when Crouch came on at Leeds, it was the only time we looked dangerous. I still think Peter Crouch has got a part to play at Stoke City, and that's a shame because at his age, we should not be thinking that he is going to be anything more than somebody we clap in the last 5 minutes. Honestly, it's frightening because you look at the backup, you looked at the bench yesterday, and I thought to myself, well, would you want to bring him on? Would you want to bring him on? Would you want to bring him on? And all of a sudden, from being a relatively stable, middle-of-the-road Premier League club, we're regressing at an alarming rate. And I have no idea how this is happening. And I think people have either now stayed in the same complacent mode or they don't know what to do.
I do think there's a lot to be said, though, Ange, about there's a culture amongst the players. Some players who've been here a while that we've just got to get shut of, Ange. Mm. And I really do believe that. I mean, it's no, but like I say, I've seen people blaming Hughes today. You know, I mean, we're three managers now. You know, but I mean, it's like me blaming if I was blaming Pulis now for what was going on now, you'd rightly say I'm talking out my backside, which is true.
Well, particularly sure you could blame Pulis for anything. He got us promoted and he kept us up.
This is the point. But we've now had two managers since Mark Hughes who haven't got a tune so far out of these players. It's got to be said, hasn't it? The same problems that we had under Hughes are certainly still there. I mean, that last 10... what do you think at home? That last 10 minutes, like yesterday, frightened me to death, and it was like deja vu revisited.
Right.
With the way that the gaps of about 40 yards had appeared between the back four, or three as it was at times, just trying to cover about three players from Brentford. Because the organisation was just completely gone. Everything was gone.
Before the game, I actually thought we would lose to Brentford at home.
Mm.
Because I think they're a decent team. And they'd scored, you know, several goals against Rotherham. I mean, we should have a cracking game against Rotherham. They were up for it.
They've got Barry Chuckle now, haven't they, or whatever, Paul Chuckle, which is Barry Chuckle.
I think it's Barry that, I don't know.
He's guarding Rotherham now.
Well, there was a nice tribute to them. And I also thought it was quite interesting that obviously there was the clap on the 28th minute for the deceased midwife. And the number of times somebody scores when there's a minute's applause on is amazing. Going back to what I was saying, I thought we would lose against Brentford. So, for me, it was a bonus point. I think we'll lose at Preston. And I think it's going to take us 10 games to sort ourselves out. At that point, you're playing catch-up again, which is what we've done for the past 3 or 4 years. And something has got to change at our football club. If anybody can come in with any positives other than get rid of the board, get rid of Cartwright, get rid of Scholes, because we know that Scholes is on the board, so that's not going to happen. We know the club isn't going to be sold in the short term, so let's try and think of some practical solutions that maybe will help.
Do you know what's worried me more than anything this week, Ange, or yesterday when I got to the ground? Is that I've heard the current... I think this manager should be a great appointment at some point or another. I think he'll do well. What worries me, obviously, is he's walked before and he's gone to other clubs. It could, you know, it could happen again. But what worried me more than anything is, and people at home again will be nodding, I'm sure, we've heard numerous interviews from Gary Rowett over the summer since he was appointed. And he's been asked on numerous occasions, Ange, what his preferred formation was going to be. And he said, one up, two wingers, three centre midfield players. I don't play with a number 10. Now, within one game, Ange, at Leeds, we're playing with a number 10. Now, I'm not so sure he's wrong, right? Okay, I'm not so sure he's wrong about what he was doing and changing it. But I just wonder what message that sent out on the training ground as well in relation to the players, because They will have heard these interviews. They will have seen how he's been setting up the side all through pre-season. And then after one result, he's automatically, straight away, he's gone to play in a full, well, he's gone to play in a number 10. Now, I'm sure you've heard the interviews, Ange. I heard them. I find that that needs explaining at the next presser, I think, if you get the chance to
ask him a question. I will ask.
Why have you said all through pre-season that you weren't going to play a 10, and then after one defeat you played a 10, and then you take the number 10 off after 60 minutes?
You could argue that if we get another midfielder, we could be the first team this year to play a whole team of midfielders and a goalkeeper. Going back to the Oakgate, because you got loads on Twitter.
I have. Going back
to the Oakgate, Woodin43 says, if we're talking sacred cows, as well as dropping Ryan, what about Alan? I thought Alan was appalling at Leeds, and I didn't think he was much better yesterday. I don't know whether that's because he's trying to do the work of two other people in midfield, or whether he just hasn't got a clue where he's playing, but he's a shadow of the player we bought. Longton Stokey says, Ange, I apologise if it's already been discussed. I've just tuned in. You're late. Can you shed any light on why Berahino wasn't included against Leeds? Well, I can. It's been debated in social media a lot. What happens this season is you have to have, in your matchday squad, a homegrown under 23-year-old if you want to use seven subs. If you haven't got an under 23-year-old in your matchday squad, you can only have six subs. When we went to Leeds, there was an error whereby we didn't have an under 23 on the team sheet, and so we had a choice of either having six subs or changing the team or the subs and putting a homegrown under 23 on. So obviously Tom Edwards came in, and then somebody has to go out, and it was Saido Berahino that went out. And that, if you hear any other conspiracy theories, that I've just told you is the truth about what happened.
Well, the obvious answer to that is, Jeef must have been more than electric in training then, as must Crouch, because Berahino has been in the form of his life in training, apparently. Yeah. He has kicked a ball yet.
This is Berahino Mark 2, to me is very much like the Berahino Mark 1. While we're talking about Stoke, did anybody go to the open training session?
Yes.
Did anybody think it was good? Would anybody like it to happen next year, bearing in mind that we'll probably be in a similar situation? Also, somebody has said tonight about the pre-season.
Mm.
We have a relationship with St. Pauli, which was a bit like the relationship we had with Orlando. We've played them twice in pre-season friendlies. They may not want to keep playing us because they beat us easily. I don't know what they get out of it, but I would agree that we have to revisit what's happening in pre-seasons, because we're just not getting anywhere, are we?
Well, we're not, no. And on that very point, Dean Merritt says we don't take pre-season seriously, and that's why we start slow. How many comments have we seen on Twitter, Ange? Pre-season doesn't matter. Well, it does matter, Ange, because we've had pre-season after pre-season where we haven't got a result for Toffee, and that just has carried on season after season at the start of the season when it's really got going.
I think what people mean is the results of pre-season don't matter. Pre-season does matter, and to be fair, the team looked much fitter in this pre-season than they have in the last three. So I'll give them that. The problem is that we're miles off the pace. And do you really expect, as I've said before, would anybody, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome? How can you imagine that the worst defence in Europe is suddenly going to drop a league, which is known to be a really tough league to get out of, and do so well?
Right, well, I'm going to do, if you don't mind, Ange, I'm going to talk now for 10 minutes.
I don't mind, good. I'm going to disappear, stage, catch up, and have a muesli bar.
Because, yeah, you do, but don't eat it too loudly, okay? Right, we've got loads of polls First poll is man of the match versus Brentford. I can only think of three choices, Ange. Williams, Ince and Butland, because Butland pulled off that gem of a save with one hand.
Don't talk to me, I'm too.
And we've got, and unusually, we've got a real close race for this. Williams 38%, Ince 31%, Butland 31%. You'll find all these on my, on the like section of my Twitter feed at russell.nowusselldown, if you didn't know. The result versus Preston. This is unbelievable, Ange. This is how the mood's changed. Preston 45%, Ange.
Mm-hmm.
Draw 25%, Stoke 30%. We're now already second favourites in the fans' eyes after the third game, Ange, against Preston.
Okay.
Is it time for a new club captain at Stoke City? 89% yes. 11% no. How many more players do we need in the loan window? A 0%. 1-2 has 13%. 3-4, 61%. So at least 3-4 players. And 5+, 26%. So there's a quarter of people we want at least 5 loan players coming in. Would you be surprised to see Bojan leave the club before the continental window closes? Yes, 38%, no, 62%. So people are expecting him to leave as well. Have our owners or administrators done enough, both in terms of incomings and outgoings this summer so far? Yes, 7%, no, 93%. And where will we finish in this league? Just a bit of fun, obviously, after 2 games, because it's very, very hard to predict. Automatic or playoffs, 30%. Mid-table, 43%. Lower half, 21%. And 6% of the people are thinking relegation, Ange. Well, if you do fancy relegation, I can promise you it's 66-1 tonight, if you fancy that. Adam says, in relation to the Bojan issue, I wouldn't be surprised if he does go on the continent, but he shouldn't be going anywhere. I've no idea why he was subbed on 65 minutes, because the only link-up play stroke creative threat we did have, disappeared. Our bright sparks throughout the game, which were few, involved Bojan. Matt Butler Street says, in relation to Shawcross, he looks broken and defeated from the moment he walks on the pitch. Part of me wonders if he knows he's only ever 80% tops. This is a very, very good point, this, I think, because of his back and he's trying to battle through it. Matt, I think probably you've hit the nail on the head there. Weebank says we've got the wrong people in and we've not got rid of enough dead wood.
What do you mean we've got the wrong people in? As in players?
Players, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mark Thorley says the reason why Bojan went off was because Gary Rowett said he was fading, which is also accurate. Tim Addison, I think, is in response to my song Promised You a Miracle, says, is that a eulogy for the season?
Mm-hmm.
Rocky says that we should be making the captain of Wales captain of Stoke, Ashley okay. Williams. Do you think he'd make a lone player captain, Ange?
No.
John Blood says we arranged an extra friendly with Villa the week before the season started and Rowett wasted it by playing players who weren't even in his plans. He also goes on to say, which you don't normally do score predictions at this point, we've got so many I've just got to read them out. Rocky's going 2-0 to Preston. Come on, prove me wrong. Now, Rocky said Stoke were going to win yesterday, so what he's watched with his own eyes has changed his mind about what we've seen. Roger Barnett says we need another striker. We need 80 goals plus, which is what you said, Ange. Team All at Sea, we've got to get better on Saturday. Stokey Mummy says, on a positive note, she'd like to congratulate Stoke City for the open day, which is what you were asking for.
Ashley Little's made Ange, a comment too.
Yeah, every player stopped to give my daughter an autograph and a photo, but it's about time they gave the young fans back, seeing as the young fans watching has increased by a good percentage. And Ashley says, the open training from the outside looking in was a roaring success. A lot of thousands of fans there, improved mood around the club. There was no downside, was there? Apart from the fact someone at the club had to get off their bottom.
Okay.
I'm paraphrasing there, folks at home. Mr. Red says, evening, guys. Hope you had a nice few months. Well, we did, really. The World Cup was good, he says. Found it ironic that Stoke put out a video not 5 hours prior to us wanting hard-working team, and that all we were all together, and then put in that performance after last week. Matt says, smug complacency from billionaire owners. Who thought? Who would have thought it? And the media believed that they cracked the magic formula for getting worldwide Premier League exposure on the cheap. Stokey Mummy says, even though we're favourites to go back up, think we're not giving the other teams in the league enough credit. Trying to walk goals in and also trying to play too much down the wings. Some players made really good runs down in the centre in space. I noticed that actually, Ange. We did make a lot of mistakes in relation to who we should have passed to. Mark Adams said, it should have been done last year. This is about Ryan Shawcross. He's too quiet for me and we need a Jamal Lasalle's type, someone who's not scared of upsetting egos and getting the best out of players. Not sure we have anyone who is capable of doing that. Oh, to have Dennis Smith back. Potters, SCFC01, says, I'm not saying Rowett has done everything he should and his manager should shoulder some of the blame. However, a squad with poor discipline, lack of confidence, stupid media appearances, we haven't even discussed that yet, and an ageing squad, it was never going to be turned around in 6 weeks. A poor showing all round by the club. Michael Stockley says, you can't disagree. Ryan has gone past his sell-by date and needs throwing away. Sick and tired of him hoofing the ball long. The difference in composure between him and Ashley Williams was frightening. Stokey Mummy says she was watching the highlights and noticed how young all the teams looked. Need to take a chance on young lower league players. Ange. Chris Hughes is positive. She's going 2-0 to Stoke at Preston. Dean Cooper's going 3-1 to Stoke. Rob Gurney's going Preston 2-0. Not being negative, just being realistic. We look terrible. Mr. Red said, I predicted that Ryan would be finished when he had his back operation years ago, and he slowly got worse and worse. Ryan should be screaming at his players to sort things out, not being mute. Move over and get a proper leader in as captain. Kirk Stubbs says, couldn't agree more. This is about Shawcross again. Williams looks like he could be solid business. Probably feels he's got a point to prove too. Stokey 1973 says, 2-0 to Preston. Can't see anything changing anytime soon. We've played our best team and it's been shown up for what it is, or more what it isn't. Beginning to doubt Rowett as his plan A is failing big time and his plan B seems the same as Hughes, lump it up to Crouch. Jago says, I agree. But throwing it away from a captain who served the club over the years is very harsh. That's in relation to the captaincy again. Howard JS says he either heads it or hoofs it, even when under no pressure. He's not good enough. James Edwards says, yes, mate, I think Shawcross needs a short, sharp reminder that he's easily replaced if need be, but doesn't stop me loving the guy. Mick Yates says, needs throwing away. Did I read that right? Yes, I think he did read that right, Mick, actually. Yeah, I did. So he did on about Shawcross.
You didn't say it, though, did you? You just read out somebody's
talk. I read it out, yeah.
Yeah. I think what you've got to appreciate is that Ryan is probably playing, obviously, because he wants to play. But who's the alternative at the moment? I did say earlier, and I think you missed it out, somebody commented on Facebook, that I would have thought that if somebody needed a rest or we needed a change in the back four, you would look at Jeff Cameron.
Yeah.
And the mere fact that Jeff Cameron has not been mentioned or not started suggests to me that either Stoke want to sell Jeff Cameron or Jeff Cameron's looking to move away. If Stoke sell Jeff Cameron, it'll have to be overseas now, so that might give us some money. You look at the people that are going to go. Chupamoting's not going to stay. Mbula, they'll want to get rid of Mbula. It looks to me like Jeff Cameron will go. I think Charlie Adam will leave. Out of all those players, you're probably at the most going to get £8 million. With £8 million, you're not going to buy a brilliant striker, a brilliant defender, a brilliant midfielder. So you either stick your hands in your pockets and buy from overseas, or you go to the loan market. Now, we've used the loan market with a great deal of success when Tony Pulis was the manager. We got some brilliant loans in then. And I think Gary Rowett, who again, I'll say, was brought in because of his knowledge of this league, is going to have to do a lot of wheeling and dealing in the next couple of weeks. Then, if he gets the players he wants, you have the situation where we'll be at 6 or 7 matches. They might not be playing anywhere else. They might not be match fit. They might have had an injury like Sam Klukas. We've not mentioned that yet. He wanted Sam Klukas. We've signed a player who is not fit at the moment. So you're looking to 10, possibly 12 matches before we will have anything like the team he wants. So at this moment in time, if you're looking to 10 to 12 matches and you're not doing great with the squad you've got, then arguably the best we could hope for, if we have a purple patch, is the playoffs.
Ashley's asking something through us for the fans. He says, could you ask the listeners if anyone else had to pay postage for their season ticket, or is it me? He says it's a long line of the club taking the Michael out of the...
Ashley, somebody else sent me a mail saying that they had had to pay the postage. It had been, the postage had been deducted from their card. Somebody else told me they didn't. So I have got that on the list of things to ask the club when we meet, and I will get back to you.
Ashley says, never guessed they were we were customers.
No, amazing.
Anyway, I'm just going back onto Facebook. Lee Davies says, bring someone in to assist them who knows something about football.
To assist who?
I presume it's the administrators, is it?
Possibly.
Jamie Heath says, bring two or three fit players who will definitely start. In this week.
Name them. They've got to be from overseas.
Brow wants them. He's got to say. He says he's got to drop Ryan. He's got to drop Fletcher, and he's got to drop Bauer.
Hmm.
He says Bauer in particular, I think, worried a few people yesterday, and
where
he just went on walkabout and completely lost his responsibilities.
Yeah. Billy Big Whatever says, evening all. Watching Saturday was like Groundhog Day from last season.
Yeah.
The club now need to get a new defensive midfielder, another winger, a striker, and a left back. Pretty much like last year, really. All I will say to that is he doesn't want another striker. The manager deserves as much criticism of the players here, as far as I'm concerned, says Potter's Pelly. What a great name. Could do with him playing for us even now. I've been to both games and none the wiser as to the game plan, apart from hoofing up to insert the striker's name here. We saw the exact same tactics fail miserably for the last two managers. Managed to get relegated playing that way, and yet we're sticking with the same one-dimensional rubbish. I can't believe for one minute that the players can have faith playing this way, knowing how awful we are at playing it. The difference between us and both Leeds and Brentford has been a real eye-opener and has shown exactly what can be achieved with adopting a modern tactical approach. Sadly, we missed the opportunity now, and it looks like we're stuck with another aimless hoofer.
Good grief. Everybody's full of the joys of spring, aren't they?
And well, I do think you set the tone for
They're making me sound positive. Ian Mellor says, there are no positives. Unless the board goes, they don't know how to fix it. There's no football men in upstairs role, and they don't understand football. It's as simple as that, Ange.
Well, who are you going to replace them with? Just tell me who you're going to replace them with.
I don't know who you're going to replace them with, to be honest. Right, Ange. Shall we hear from Gary Rowett?
Why not?
I think that's a good idea, don't you? Because he did give a cracking interview, I thought, because it was very, very honest and very accurate.
Gary, your first game, what did you think?
I thought that the fans were fantastic. I thought the performance in very small parts was okay. But I felt for long periods of the game, we didn't do enough, quite clearly. You know, I spoke to the players in there. We need to wake up and get into action very quickly. It's as simple as that, you know. Again, whether it's a hangover, you could see quite clearly confidence wasn't as high as it could be. But we don't want to use that as an excuse. We've got a team out there of players that have played to a high level. But we need to do basics a lot better. You know, some of our basic defending as a group has been poor. You know, it's as simple as that. So I thought we started edgily. We started nervously. And you know what it's like at home when you start making a few backwards passes, the crowd feed off that and start to get a little bit frustrated themselves, and you can understand that. But they stayed behind us. We get the goal by Bennett really chasing a fortuitous opportunity down, which is great, but he gets his second goal of the season. and then you end up playing well for probably 15 minutes. You know, we got into some good positions, we put a lot of balls in the box. Nothing really fell for us, we probably didn't word our goalkeeper enough. And then we went back to being a bit edgy. We went back to making basic errors. And I think the way that Brentford could very easily counter-attack today, you know, was cause for concern. We have to have a better defensive balance when we attack. We have to make better decisions when we defend. So I think for me, that was the take-home message really to the team. You know, we've got to start working harder to get the basics right. But even at 1-0, I felt as though, you know, we weren't under massive pressure. But we just needed to raise our game a little bit more, you know, so.
Yeah, Fletch and Bojan started today and Ashley Williams came on pretty early on. How do you think they did?
I thought Ashley did really well. I thought when Ash came in, you could see what a class act he is. I thought he defended really well. You know, it's not easy as a centre-back to come into the game so early. But he showed that he'll be ready. He showed that he's got that leadership, those leadership qualities. I thought Boj did well at times. He gets into some very good positions. Just maybe needed just something to open up for him earlier. You know, a couple of times he's cut inside and the shot looked to be open and maybe we've made an extra pass or needed to be a little bit more positive. And you can see a little bit, he just ran out of steam, a tiny bit of sort of 60 minutes. But I thought he showed some good signs. It was nice to see him back out there. I thought that Tom Ince was bright. I thought that Bennett gets his second goal. So again, we've had some good performances, but just not enough of them. Like last week, just not enough.
Bruno went off. Is he okay as far as you know? Or
do I don't know. I think his Achilles tendon was a little bit sore. But if I'm being honest, I don't know how it is. It might take a day or two to settle down and get a good prognosis. So, but again, that's a, you know, probably shows how light we are in terms of numbers in certain key positions.
It's early days yet. It's no time for panic, is it? After the back end of last season, we just need to get a win, don't we, and get the confidence back in. Is that fair comment?
Yeah, we just need to settle down a little bit. I think we need to settle down. We need to start playing. We saw it in small spells today that when we start to play with a little bit of confidence, we'll move the ball and we'll create chances against any team. But what we need to do is we need to just be a little bit harder to play against at times, and that's a big thing for us. But you know, I keep saying it, and I know I don't want it to sound like an excuse, but a lot of Premier League teams will come down and will take time to settle down. Now, hopefully by me saying this, all the others haven't won today. But ultimately, as historically, it will happen. You've got players that perhaps see themselves at a better level. You've got players perhaps that see themselves as future being away from here. And we've got quite a lot of players that haven't played that often together. So, but we need to gel quicker. And we need to make sure that, you know, we improve quicker.
Adam, you were listening to that. You're on the line talking to us now. What do you think of what Gary Rowett had to say?
He's refreshingly honest, isn't he, I think. And, yeah, you can't really argue with pretty much anything that he says. I think it's been quite an honest assessment of the last two performances, I think.
What do you think going forward we need to do?
We need to be patient, Ange, I think. I think there's a lot of knee-jerk reaction to what's been going on. Everyone's obviously very disappointed. Me included, you included, Russ included, the club, the manager, the players, everyone will be disappointed with the start. Results have not been brilliant. Performances have been worse. But there's been a lot of change, you know, not just in pre-season, but obviously since January. There's been a lot of change, and it's obviously going to take a little bit of time for everyone to gel, everyone to click, everyone to get used to a new manager, a new setup, a new team of players. You know, I think we're all probably a little bit naive at the beginning to think that we're going to romp the league and we're going to be, you know, 6 points out of six and, you know, free flowing to start with. It's going to take a little bit of time, but I'm relatively confident that, you know, given a little bit more time, that you know, things will start to improve.
Do you think the defence is going to stay the same as it is? And if so, is that not a worry for you?
I don't think it can stay the same, can it? I think, you know, the people, you know, supporters know that it's a poor defence. And obviously he has tried over the summer to bring different players in. You know, I heard you talking earlier on about Chester's, and that was an unfortunate situation, I think. You know, from what we're led to believe, I think a bit of $10 million in the end did go in. Whether that was too late in the day, I don't know, but you would have hoped $10 million might have got him. But so that was unfortunate, because I think he's probably one of the best centre-backs in this league and would have carried us back into the Premier League if we get there. But I think we've seen already now that Peters, for people who still wanted to give him a bit of a chance, I think he's gone now. I thought he was really poor yesterday. Bauer defensively was poor, and obviously you've debated Shawcross. But then you've got a whole, you know, can you change it all at the same time again? You know, there's even less stability. So it's a difficult one, and you would have hoped and liked to have all been sorted and ready to go into a new season, but that's not the case. So I think Williams, you know, I think Liam Lawrence said yesterday that actually, you know, the injury to Indy yesterday could be a blessing in disguise in terms of putting Williams in. But is it the wrong one of the two who's got injured? You know, would it have been better if it was Indy and Williams to start with? So that's unfortunate. But, you know, again, people were really clambering around Williams, saying what a poor signing he's going to be. He's got no pace. You know, he can't defend. But we've all seen yesterday that, you know, and I knew it when he signed. He's a good defender. You know, things didn't quite work out towards the end at Everton. But he's a class defender, and he'll be great in this division for us. You know, you don't need massive amount of pace as a centre half if you can read the game like he can. And I think he'll do all right with us.
Going then towards the what's left of the loan window for us, what would you like to see happen? Who would you like to see us bring in?
Well, I can't think of any names off the top of my head, because obviously it's, you know, Browett and the team will be keeping an eye on who's out of favour in the Premier League, who's not starting, who wants some games. So, you know, that's still up in the air. I mean, there's obviously a rumour this morning of Connor Wickham, which doesn't necessarily fill me or inspire me with confidence, given his injury record over the last 2 years. He's not an out-and-out goal scorer. And we've already seen that he wants to play one up front. So, you know, there's a lot of people saying we need another striker. Well, we had three sitting on the bench yesterday. Now, whether they're good enough or not is kind of neither here nor there at the moment, because he's playing with one up front. He's only going to play with one up front, I think. And we're going to have to shift at least one, if not two, of those strikers away from the club before we bring any more in. I'm pretty sure of that. Just in terms of the wages that they'll be on, I think we definitely need a left back. And you know, maybe we do need another central defender. But certainly for me, it would be a left back. And you know, we need to see what he thinks about Bojan, but we certainly need a creative attacking midfield player, whether it's Bojan or not. You know, we need someone, and if it isn't Bojan, it needs to be someone better or a wide player, so Ince could move in and play the number 10 role, or someone to challenge McLean on the left, because obviously his place seems nailed down now. There doesn't seem to be any competition for his position, and his, you know, I thought he did reasonably well at Leeds. I thought he was really poor on Saturday. And maybe, you know, he's the type of player we want to come on and build the squad, and maybe we need someone who's better than him to command that left-sided position.
When you're looking forward then to the match at Preston and taking it a little bit further, I think Preston will be a very, very difficult game, as I've said earlier, but if we get 0 points out of that, and then we've got two home matches coming up, they have to be, so early in the season, crucial victories, don't they?
Yeah, I think they do. Yeah, I think the games come thick and fast, don't they, in the Championship? You know, so, you know, you're talking kind of the end of August, and you've already played, what, five or six league games. So, you know, they're coming thick and fast. So, yeah, you don't want to be, and you mentioned earlier on about playing catch-up, you don't really want to be too far behind. You know, we're already 5 points off top spot. I know it's early days, and you can go on a run, and there's so many games. You know, you're not going to win every game, and people are going to be picking up points off each other because that's the league it is. But our confidence doesn't need to get any lower than what it is at the moment. So you would hope at best we get a draw on Saturday, and then you go into the two home games thinking, well, if we can get back-to-back wins here, then things are not looking as bad as they might seem at the moment. So, you know, it's a cliche, but it is very, very early days. There's been a lot of change, and people, I think, just need to kind of bed in and get used to what's going on, I think.
And finally, last question before we let you go. Do you think Stoke will get straight back up?
I think it's going to be harder than maybe we first thought. Obviously, I'm convinced that there will be an improvement. Whether there's enough an improvement, I think realistically to get in the top two now, I think is probably a bit too much from what I've seen so far. But I would hope that we are one of, you know, the top six come the end of the season. I know Russell disagrees and thinks we're probably a mid-table team at best, which at the moment you can't argue with that. But I do think that things will start clicking into gear when everyone's got used to what's going on. And I'm hoping that there will be enough to... I don't know whether I'm hoping or whether I know that that's what's going to happen. But, you know, I'm relatively confident that we are a top six team at worst, I would think.
Listen, Adam, thanks for your thoughts. It's nice to hear somebody talking with a bit of positivity tonight. We'll no doubt speak to you through the season.
Cheers.
Bye. Cheers, John. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was interesting, Ange.
Hmm.
He's a bit more optimistic than you, isn't
he? Well, it's Sunday and he's probably had a couple of pints. You need to catch up on one or two. Well, you've got loads of things. No, I don't want to talk for a minute. I want to have me on the muesli bowl.
Okay. Well, I never get a chance to eat at all, you know.
No, well, you can see that.
Vintage Kitchen says it makes me very,
Vintage Kitchen, how old?
Vintage Kitchen says it makes me very sad it's come to this, but it's also sad that Ryan didn't do the honourable thing and walk away with his dignity in the summer. He has been off the mark for a long time, and as a professional, he must know that. It's become a huge, painful bone of contention.
If you're a professional sports person, the last thing you're going to do is walk away from money and playing the game you love. Eventually, somebody tells you that you're past it, or you get an injury, or you just accept you can't do it anymore. And for some people, that takes more time than others.
And on the same subject, Potter Glenn says, for her, a captain should be rallying the troops before and during the game, chasing down the ref for decisions, badgering players not pulling their weight, and guiding young players like Bauer and Edwards. He does none of the above, in her opinion. Can't deny he's been a great player, but Big Joe Allen, she says, with plenty of fire in the ref's ear, Ryan, bless him, is too meek.
Yeah, I mean, I will just say, and whilst I don't disagree with anything that's just been said, I don't think Ryan has ever been a leader by being vocal. I don't actually think he's that vocal in the changing room. I think he's led by example on the pitch over the years, and maybe he's now not as physically fit as he was, and he's now got to put all his energies in trying to get through the game, because it's quite clear that when he goes in straight lines and he jumps and heads the ball, he's fine. It's when he has to move, and unfortunately people don't play football in straight lines anymore.
Well, do you know that comment we had earlier on about the player, the person who said that, I think it was Matt Butler Street, wasn't it, who said he thought he knows he's playing under his potential,
yeah,
and that's affecting everything. Well, what about that moment yesterday where he went up for that header and landed awkwardly on the floor? That is a guy in pain, that is.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Now, it sounds cruel, doesn't it? But this is a professional sport we're talking about here. This is Stoke. You know, we can't just keep picking someone because he's Ryan Shawcross. That, to me, looked like a guy who's got desperate problems with either sciatic-type problems in the back or something, because the way he was moving when he was on the floor was, I'd better not move too fast here, otherwise I'm going to have a sharp pain somewhere.
Yeah.
We've all been there. Anybody who's had sciatica can recognise how he was moving on the floor. This is not, somebody's got to be brave enough to make the decision for the benefit of Stoke City at some point or another. Anyway, I've got Facebook, but the polls first. I've got an update on the polls. Man of the Match versus Brentford. Thank you for all your votes. We're over a century on most of these polls now, which is fantastic. The Man of the Match poll, Williams is just nudging ahead at the moment, Ashley Williams. 38% of the vote for Ashley Williams, 33% for Tom Ince, and 29% for Jack Butland, which will probably just be based on that one save alone. The result versus Preston, it's sort of evening its way up now. Preston 42%, Stoke 35%, draw 23%. Is it time for a new club captain? The what we've just been discussing. 87% think yes, 13% think no. How many more loan players do we need in? 3-4 is still winning that poll on 62%, 5+ on 25%. 1-2 on 13%, and still no one, which is unusual for these sort of polls, Ange, has voted for no more players to come in. Would you be surprised to see Bojan leave the club before the end of the continental window? No, 2/3 of you think. Yes, 1/3 of you think. Have our owners and administrators done enough in terms of the income and outgoings this year? 90% of you think no, 10% of you think yes. And the position in the table, which is what Ange was just talking about with Adam there. Adam's in the 33% who think automatic or playoffs. Mid-table, 42%. Lower half, 19%. And relegation 6%, and so you know it's changing all the time with these polls. On Facebook, Jamie Heath says, "What happened to the Greek lad we brought in on loan in January?"
Well, we obviously decided we weren't going to keep him. Was that if he was available?
Hang on, there's a punchline to come here. Okay. Was that another Cartwright buy two pizzas and get a player for free deal? Paul Higgs says the club need to get tough and make some hard decisions and drop and replace Shawcross, Peters and Fletcher as well before we get too far behind the leaders. Once you start playing catch up at an early stage after promises of big investment, you're going to start getting hit hard with attendances, and once you start dropping the attendances you're on a downward spiral. I've heard you mentioning that phrase actually this week, haven't I? Ian John Mellor says, you can't replace Teflon and Cartwright because nobody worth the name of Ed Scow would work under Peter Coates' tight budget. Poe Beardo says, it's so depressing, but were we expecting too much?
I think your expectations as a supporter of a football club are always unrealistic unless you're Man City, Man United, Liverpool or Chelsea. Because football isn't about getting 11 of the best players in the world for a club like Stoke City. We do the best with what we can, and as fans we look at it completely differently than the business people that own the football club, unfortunately. Billy Big Whatever said Adam, who's just called in, must be on monkey dust if he thinks Stoke are at least the top six side. Well, I do know Adam and I'm sure he isn't. On the last two performances, we'd be lucky to finish in mid-table. I get the impression that we've all been told a story regarding the lessons learned. Aren't the words he's used.
Ange ad-libs better than anyone.
Well, I've learned because I've sat with you for so long.
Yeah, well, I have to do it. Well, I've learned from Gareth.
Yeah, okay.
Over years, Gareth was the classic at that, wasn't he? Gemma Beach says, we got relegated for a reason. We're reaping the last 18 months' mess now.
Oh, I think it's more than 18 months. It doesn't matter how long it is. The big problem for me is if, and it is a big if, and I know it's early days, if Gary Rowett does not get this right at Stoke City, then all of a sudden, from being a very stable club that has always backed its managers, we suddenly look like just Johnny run-of-the-mill club. If things go wrong, you get rid of your manager. And I've always been proud of the fact that our owners have supported our managers. But that makes a big difference too for players wanting to come in. Because you had a situation whereby, with Bauer, for example, he came in and suddenly he's got a different manager. And that isn't good for a football club. So I think whatever happens in this next 12 to 18 months, we will back Gary Rowett, whatever happens. That always assumes that Gary Rowett, as you said, wants to stay. because he has got a previous track record of moving on. Although that's only started, I guess, since it started before, but after Birmingham. I think he was harshly treated at Birmingham, and they must wish they'd never done it. Talking about track records and having stability, we rarely promote stories and books on this show, but you might have seen that there's a book called out, written by John Leonard, called Tony Waddington, Director of a Working Man's Ballet. If for any of you that lived through the Waddington years and or have heard parents or grandparents talk about it, it's a brilliant book. It's a biography of him as a manager. And he was definitely one of the most underestimated figures in the 60s and 70s. And he managed to get players who we would never have thought of, you know this, Russ, coming to our football club and playing for us. Alan Hudson probably being the one that most people will talk about. Jimmy Greenough. I mean, the list's endless. But Waddo was a great manager for our football club. And it was in the days when we were really known as one of the top football clubs in this country and played clubs like Ajax and gave them a real run for their money in the UEFA Cup, as it was there. If you feel like getting it for a present, or if you want to buy somebody a present who's a Stoke fan, it's called Tony Waddington, the Director of a Working Man's Ballet, and I recommend it. Over to you.
Right. Okay. Poe Beardo says on Facebook, this is a tough league, but we are a poor team at the moment. But he agrees that we're reaping the rewards, if that's the right phrase, of the last 18 months. Dan Ayer says, listening to that again, that's the interview of Gary Rowett, that's how far we're going back here with the comments. He doesn't really think that Gary has been backed as strongly as suggested. It's almost half-hearted in his attempts to play cute in the market. I think despite the situation, we'll start seeing improvements after Gary's systems start to show. Another 3 or 4 games at least. I know, yeah, you're nodding, but we've had 2 systems in 2 games, and this one we weren't expecting. I pointed out.
I think, and I am not happy with what's happening at my football club. No fan of Stoke City can be happy with where we are at the moment. But I think until the loan window closes, we have to be cautious. Because he said he's going to get players in. If we don't get the players in when that loan window is closed, then there's one or two things we can do. Say why, or why haven't you? Why, if you've got players in that are players we don't want, like another midfielder, which obviously we do need because the ones we've got aren't great, or why not if we've got nobody in? And I still think we need another striker in. We're playing without a winger, as Adam Monkey Dust Adam said. We've got nobody to force McLean out of the team. There is no other winger. I can't believe we can
play. Well, there is, but he doesn't want to play for it.
I can't believe that we've got one player isolated up front. And, I mean, he must obviously wonder why he puts his kit on. Because he scored a penalty and a tap-in. And, yeah, all credit to him, because there are other players in our team that might have not got to that tap-in. But there's nothing. He's feeding off scraps like Crouchy does.
Well, it's no surprise to anyone at home, I hate this one-up business anyway in this league, especially when your strikers aren't good enough. But there you go. There's loads of new names tonight, which is very encouraging.
Are they printable names?
Neil James Potts, which I think is a very famous name in the football. Stoke City Potts, isn't it? That's a very famous name. Maybe the squad isn't as good as it thinks it is, Ange.
Well, I think that's, if you go back to what Rowett said yesterday, he said people can't keep living on their past reputations. And you could have looked at most people in that squad yesterday who turned up on that pitch for Stoke City. And if they have, they will all know that they are not playing well. They will all go to training tomorrow and try and put it right, because that's what you do. But are you good enough? Well, that's maybe the characters we've got in this team now aren't suited for the Championship, because you can see that they can't believe when somebody knocks them off the ball and they're lying down expecting free kicks, where you might have got a free kick in the Premier League. You might have even got a booking. But in the Championship, you're not going to get any of that.
Mm.
And the quicker they wake up and realise that you've got to play until that ref, however bad he is, blows the whistle, which he should in all leagues, but you've got less and less time here. And our prima donnas, some of them, can't believe that people dare tackle them. And until that penny drops, then I think we're in deep trouble.
I wonder what Jack Butland's reaction would have been yesterday if he'd have got barged off the ball like that Brentford keeper and the referee gave nothing.
Yeah, it was a bit rough, that, wasn't it?
And the penalty, Peters, possibly.
I didn't think that was a penalty.
Well, he only left a 6-inch gash in the shin.
Well, the lad was unlucky the way he landed on his boot.
Oh, OK. All right. Anyway, it was nice to meet... We were talking about the open day. It was nice to meet Gemma Beach, one of our regular listeners, at the open training. But it was also equally nice to meet this guy, rather unusually, at Milford-on-Sea, which is Jamo. Yeah. Just by chance, met Jamo on Milford-on-Sea.
Can I just say Jamo sent me a private message saying he will never go to Milford again?
Yeah, and he'll never be the same again, I don't think. Neither will be my wife and daughter, who said you can't go anywhere now without someone saying something to you.
Worship of Russell.
This is it. Jamo says, wouldn't be shocked about Bojan going, he says. His presence improved us by actually having a player in that position, but he was fairly ineffectual in Jamo's view, and I think he'll only be a bit part player for us unless things change. He could be a key player, but I'm not sure that's how it will pan out. Going back to your point on the book, Ange, says Cambridge Stoke, he says, did you ever meet Tony Waddington? I presume you did.
Yes, I met Tony Waddington on several occasions, some that he won't remember, and some that he probably would if he was still here. And in my opinion, he's pretty close, if not top, of the manager list at Stoke City, because what he did with a relatively limited budget, yes, I know it's all relative to the era you work in, but that, apart from a very short period of time when Arnautovic, Shaqiri and Bojan played over that period, trust me, the football we had in the the 70s at least, was exceptional.
This is true, you'd like to go back to playing the football we were playing even 18 months ago, let alone...
Not 18
36
months ago.
Months ago.
Yeah, okay, 18, three matches, yeah, okay.
But, I mean, like I say, talking about Shaqiri, wasn't it a pleasure that to have a player like that who could actually trap a ball, pass a ball, cross a ball, take a free kick?
The thing that I find the most disappointing, you know you've got relegated and everybody talks about it's going to be really tough in the Championship. It's the things that you notice, people, I don't know if this is anybody else, if it's just my myopic view. I didn't care about Match of the Day last night. The one thing I consoled myself with was, well, we won't be last on, right? I didn't watch half of it. I didn't watch any of the highlights on Quest, because I probably would if we'd have thrashed them, but I didn't. I'm not that interested in what happens in the Premier League anymore. And just the way I feel about the Premier League, people will feel about Stoke. Stoke has gone now across a lot of people's radar. Stoke is no longer important. And
when including some of our fans.
And when you look at the stadium, and unless we turn it round very quickly, we've got a whole generation of supporters who have not seen us outside the Premier League. I, like you, Russ, have seen us in a lot worse states than we are at the moment. It's not pleasant. And that's why I think people of my age and younger, up to a certain point, are desperate for us to turn this round, because another 10, 15 years in the wilderness and the Bet365 stadium as we know it now will not be that same stadium.
No. Dan Mullock, who's not back and coming forwards with his views, I'll tell you that, over the summer. Absolute garbage yesterday, he says. Why do we look so far behind teams like Brentford and Leeds? Tomorrow morning, I would expect the transfer team to be putting out statements promising that reinforcements are incoming and that the deadwood will be getting shifted ASAP.
The only thing I will say about that, and I'll just go back to what Gary Rowett said. Everybody he's wanted and he's got. He doesn't want a number 10. He says he's happy with his strikers. So I just think that, to me...
There's no hope.
No, I'm not saying there's no hope. I'm just saying that what do you do? Do you back your manager and say, well, we've appointed him, let him do what he wants? Or do you say, excuse me, Mr. Rowett, Do you not think we need another striker? Do you not think we need a defender? It's a very delicate thing, and I think they'll back him with whatever he wants. Apart from Messi and Ronaldo. And
like you say, though, if he doesn't want it, they can't give it to
exactly.
him.
Exactly. So I don't have sympathy for our transfer team. I don't have sympathy for our CEO. But I do think it's extremely difficult if you're working with a manager who knows what he wants, who you've appointed because of his knowledge of the Championship, then presumably you'll go with what he says.
Well, yeah. Well, this was the argument over signing McLean, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But there you go. Poe Beardo says, I would agree, Dan, our club is great at making the right noises, but nothing else. I think that's basically what he's saying. Alan Wilding says, it's time for Scholes and Cartwright to be given their P45. Daniel Stevenson says, I think we need at least four more players in to cover for injuries and secure starting spots. It's clear to see that we still have flashbacks to last season, and that we also have players who still think they're still too good for this league. I believe we need to drop Peters, Fletcher, Shawcross and Allen for the next match to see how we play then, and especially a new captain. I've always been a firm believer that Jack Butland would make a good club captain for us.
Dan, if you're going to drop Peters, Fletcher, Shawcross and Allen, who are you going to put in their places? Out of the current squad we have, who are you going to put in their places?
I saw someone mentioning Timon the other day, but obviously he's hardly played a league game, has he?
No.
And he says, further to my comment on Butler for captain, the reason why, he says, he's always very vocal and shouting over mistakes at the defenders. He truly cares about the club. He's doing a lot of shouting at the moment, then, isn't he?
I think Jack would make a great captain. But I just don't think, after all the years, it's just quite that simple to say to your current captain, you aren't captain anymore. I think it has to be done in a sensitive manner. And I'm sure that if Gary Rowett doesn't think that Ryan Shawcross should be our club captain, he will not be our captain. Billy Big Whatever says, you're right, Ange, the Prem is of no interest to most of us now. We're out of it. To be honest, I doubt most of us will watch much of the Championship if we keep playing the way we have been. I think you're right.
I haven't watched a single minute of Premier League football over the weekend, not one. But obviously I've had things on. But yeah. Nothing's catching my attention in relation to the Premier League, to be honest. Stuart Mitten says, and still there are people saying there's no problems at the club. They must be blind and deaf.
Who's saying that? Who is saying there's no problems
on
at the
Twitter,
club?
On Twitter, I think.
Okay, sorry.
Not you, I don't think.
No.
Terrible to watch. He says Rowett is not very happy, and he hasn't impressed him one bit, by the way, yet, he says. And Coates is either asleep again or living it up in Barbados and doesn't give a monkey's.
The one thing I'll say about...
He used that quite a lot,
the one thing I'll say about Peter Coates is he does care. He probably cares more than you or I will ever know. And I would think, if it were my money that I'd invested, I don't care how much money he's got.
Yeah.
If it were my money I'd invested and it was going down the pan fast as it is, I'd be caring very much.
Yeah, but I think I'd have intervened in one or two things that were going on this summer, though.
Yes.
If it was me. Hmm. But there you go. There's
Stop and Owl.
Yeah, this cartoon.
Have you
seen this cartoon, Ange?
Yeah,
it's people queuing up at the ticket office to request a refund.
Mm.
So we don't know. What did the club do about people who were requesting a refund after a certain player signed, Ange?
I honestly have no idea.
Right,
so
okay.
I can't even. I wouldn't even know. I would have thought if you bought your season ticket, you bought your season ticket to watch Stoke City play football on a football pitch.
And, not necessarily an individual.
And I think if you're going to turn it down to an individual, then there might have been quite a few tickets went back sometime last year for players that didn't show up.
Shall we hear from Darren Fletcher?
Why don't we hear from Darren Fletcher?
Or which one? What is his name?
Darren Fletcher.
Darren Ferguson. Oh, it's not going to play for us. Oh, that's a shame, isn't it?
It's probably been. It probably doesn't answer unless it's.
No, he doesn't answer. So we'll have to think up something else, Ange.
Poe Bardo says he didn't have the stress watching Match of the Day yesterday, and I'd probably assume that that's right. You better read the rest of it out, because you've been reading them out. I've just nicked your job.
Love match of the day yesterday, and stress-free. Don't think Rowett has got what he wants. I think it has to do with what he has got to a certain extent.
I do think there's a certain amount of, look, we've got to get rid of some of these players, which makes sense. Because you can only have 25 people in your squad, and we know one of those has got to be somebody that's able to sit on the bench as an under-23. MB Potter says, we need to settle on a formation and a system. We need to establish this before bringing in any more players. I think that's fair comment. We need the right players to play the roles that are lacking. The results of the last 18 months' transfer policy is that we are less than the sum of our parts. We'll be outplayed by any other clubs that play as a team.
Very worrying, isn't it?
Well, I think that's there's a lot of truth in that last comment, that we haven't got... I do not know quite what you were doing there.
I'm going to play. I'm going to play Darren Fletcher.
Well, obviously disappointment, because when you get yourself in a winning position and then you don't see out the game. After a bit of a sticky start, I thought for 20 minutes before half time we played really good, got ourselves into the lead, created some good opportunities, probably should have went in two up maybe, and then second half we just didn't get going really. And but to be honest, nothing was really happening, and they score a great goal and it makes it open end to end late on in the game, and it's a disappointing point in the end, because when you're in a late winning position at home, you've got to really be winning the game.
We just needed a second goal, didn't we? If we'd have got a second goal, I think we'd have won that.
No, without a doubt. I thought when after we had the initial maybe dry pitch in the wind and they were pressing, once we realised to beat the press, I thought we were the better team first half after the first 15 minutes. I thought we created some good opportunities and got in good areas, went 1-0 up, and we were the better team and we were very comfortable for the rest of the first half. As you say, we got to get a second goal. A couple opportunities in the second half as well. There was nothing really happening. And to be honest, the goal's disappointing from our point of view, you know. So it's a good finish, it's a good move, but we've got to stop that.
From a personal point of view, though, for you, you must be delighted to get the starting place today.
Yeah, well, I felt I did well when I came on against Leeds. I feel like I've had a good pre-season. And, yeah, I feel good and, you know, I've been training well and I feel a lot fitter after a good pre-season. And yeah, it was great to get a start and, you know, on a personal note, I thought performance level was quite good, so something to definitely build on.
And the dressing room, is it a bit flat, because it's like a defeat in a way, isn't it?
It is, of course it is, you know, and the fans expect better, that puts added pressure on us, but that's something we're going to have to deal with. You know, we've got to have to deal with, you know, people making us favourites, and it's difficult to get used to the championship, and you know, it's fast, it's ferocious, and you know, it's sometimes you want to play nice football, but it's difficult, you know what I mean, because the teams are putting pressure on you. And we've just got to stick together, do you know, the confidence will be a little bit low, but you've got to fight through it, you know, and sometimes by fighting through it, you've got to just make good decisions, win your tackles, win your headers, you know, try and win second balls and play your way into the game a little bit more. You know, it's not going to be passing it out from Jack and building and going all the way up the pitch. It doesn't work like that in this league.
Do you feel that with new players that have come in as well, we need a bit of time for them to gel?
Yeah, of course, that's understandable. Plus, everyone sees us as the scalp in the league as well. You know, everyone will see us as the ones to beat and the team who's just come down from the Premier League, and people have made us favourites. And it's another thing we're going to have to get used to. You know, people see it as a big game coming here and playing against us, and all these challenges are there for us, and we've got to learn quickly. I think today's level was better than last week. We should have won the game today, and We've got to work hard in the training ground and turn it around quickly.
And it's a hard league, isn't it? There's more games. There's probably a bit more level, this league. It's competitive.
It's really competitive. From, you know, it's relentless. It's a very high level. You know, I think you could even compare it to the bottom half of the Premier League. There's not much difference, really. Do you know what I mean? From the teams in the Championship to that, you know, lower 10 in the Premier League, the level's pretty much similar. So we know what to expect. We've had a good taste of it now, and we've got to get used to it quickly, and we've got to improve quickly, and we've got to start winning games.
There you go, Ange.
Well, I don't know about seeing us as a scalp, but you'll be seeing a lot of scalps in the stand of people going bald if we carry on the way we are. And it's interesting, isn't it? He played the game. It's the first time he's played his football outside the Premier League. He's not played in the Championship.
Right.
He had a completely different perspective on the first half to myself. Because I thought the last 15 minutes we were good, but, well, average. and the rest of the time we were rubbish. Going back to NB Potter, New Brunswick Potter in Canada, did you watch the game on the stream yesterday? And any of our overseas listeners, what did you think of the stream yesterday? And do you think it's worthwhile?
Congratulations on being voted back on the Fans Council, Ange, by the way.
Thank you.
Was there how many? Seven chosen, was there? Well done, anyway.
Okay.
You've got a meeting shortly, haven't you?
Well, our pre-meet's the 16th of September. Our meeting with the club is the following week.
I've just popped a tweet on there, which I promised I would do, and should have done it earlier, which was that photograph of Sam Klukas coming out with his agents, looking rather happy with himself that he'd signed, and it's a caption competition. What anybody thinks, any funny comment anybody might think about, can't believe we pulled that off.
Wear me crutches,
all those sort of things. Anyway, so if you've got...
Listen, he could be a good signing for the football
club. Oh, I agree. When he's played against us in the recent past, when he played for Hull and one or two other clubs, he played very, very well. No problem. Just like preferred it if he'd have been fit, that's all. Dan Eyre says, I honestly don't think Gary is backed. This is the manager, Rowett. His comments about signing a versatility player rather than a designated left back for Peters further proves that, in his opinion. Why couldn't we sign them both? I know the argument about too many squad players, but it is important that we have squad cohesion, even though we'll have to take a hit in whatever we get, Ange.
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing at a tweet, somebody's a message on Facebook somebody's put in about monotone things, monosyllabic things. All I can say is I think he'll be backed as much as he wants to be backed.
That was very monosyllabic. Go on, say it.
Monosyllabic.
That's it. Daniel Stevenson says, Ange.
Yeah.
This is direct reference to you.
Mm-hmm.
I would drop the four listed that I said, and replace Peters with Bowie, so he's going to swap Bowie over to the left,
mm-hmm.
bring in Edwards at right back, Itibo with Fletcher, and Shawcross with Suter, and partner him with Williams. I know that one decision is controversial, but Suter is a promising defender who has a point to prove, so would work hard to prove just that, and Allen I would replace with Sorensen, as he is a talent that we need to nurture with game time to allow him to grow.
I wouldn't disagree that those changes would be fine, but I think it's a bit much to change them all in one game, because I could see us falling apart there. But I have no bother with what you've said. The teacher says, good evening all. Apologies for joining late, and hopefully I'm not going over ground already covered. Well, it wouldn't matter, the teacher, because we like your messages. I like much of what the manager is saying, but actions speak louder than words. Worryingly, the players signed and the players reported to be of interest to the club, Wickham, is a major worry as we are building a squad of championship players. You do wonder if there's a power battle between those sanctioning payment for players and the manager, or if the manager is actually chasing ageing championship players who will take us nowhere. I also wonder if the family have the willingness to spend what it appears it now costs to be a Premier League club, when you look at what has been spent to those clubs we aspire to be like. Those mighty clubs like Fulham. Or are the family happy to talk about returning to the Premier League, but are they really willing to do what is required? These next 3 weeks will tell the story, in my opinion. What can be said at this time? There seems to be real issues inside the club and leadership needs to be shown, otherwise we'll all be disappointed again. This season will be another wasted season. Let's hope that the owners show their leadership, but I'm not holding my breath on that front. I would agree that Gary Rowett is looking for championship players that can work in this arena. And the club have already said that they appointed him because of his knowledge of the championship. So for me, it would follow that he would want good championship players. Has he bought good championship players? Benny Kofobi's got 2-2. He scored at Wolves. He's on loan at the moment. Tom Ince, I think, is a championship player. McLean, I think he's a championship player.
Yeah. Well, he must be. Well, he's been in the Premier League long enough, so he should be good enough for the championship. But he's just not got that bit extra that we need. But there you go. I must comment on that and say that's a fantastic post, by the way.
Okay.
I think that's I think that just about sums it up, really.
Woodin 43. These reporters who do the interviews, why are they so deferential? Are they afraid of losing access if they ask difficult questions? Please, can someone ask, why don't you turn up until 20 minutes in? Why are the defence so poor? Why isn't the fact that you earn thousands a week enough incentive? I'll answer as well as I can at the moment. Phil, who's done both the interviews that we played out tonight, actually is the historian for our football club. He's always going to err on the side of safety because he is there to do interviews for the football club. So it's highly likely that for Phil, he isn't going to say anything that's going to rock the boat. If you're taking that a step further to people asking questions, on Friday, for whatever circumstance, I was able to ask whatever I wanted for as long as I wanted. And I did. And Gary Rowett answered every one of my questions. Unfortunately, I couldn't ask him why he didn't turn up 20 minutes in on Saturday because the interview was on Friday. But I did ask him about the match at Leeds. And he was very frank, very honest. He said we weren't good enough, that people had to wake up. In fact, we could have replayed what he said to me after the match on Saturday. When he came in on Saturday, he was clearly visibly annoyed, and he turned round and he said to the few people that were there, it's no good having a reputation. You've got to do these things. You've got to accept that we are where we are, and we've got to start learning this very quickly. I think his patience is very thin at the moment, and I think we will see changes at Preston. So I hope I've half answered your question. The last thing I would say on reporters is if your livelihood depends on turning up and getting an interview with somebody, and you go in and basically say, why are you playing these players? They are excrement. You ain't going to get another interview. That's just the nature of life.
No, it's true. And but I would say this. I'm beginning to get a bit brassed off myself with the same problems, Ange.
What problems?
Same problems. Just saying, people not taking leadership, people not trying hard enough. People.
Can I just say, Russell, when you play sport professionally, you do not go on there and not try. Most people, I do not know any professional sports person that would go on a pitch and not try unless they were in major disputes with the football club. And then that's a whole different story.
Well, they don't seem to be putting the same effort into the same level as the other side.
They try, there is a problem. They're either not good enough, they're injured or ageing, or their confidence is shot to pieces. And in Stoke's case at the moment, it's not hard to see that none of them have got any confidence, that we've got an ageing squad, some of them appear to be injured, and some of them aren't good enough. And when you've got that combination all together on a football pitch, it does tend to look like you're not trying.
And how have we got in that situation? In the first place?
3 years of rank bad management.
Correct. The truth is out at last. I managed to get it out of her at last.
It's not rocket science, Russ. Even you knew that.
Yes, this is true. And predicted it. Dan Eyre says, wow, it looks like Ferguson is blind to what is happening around him. That's what made you giggle, I think, earlier on. If you've missed the pun, it's because on the tannoy on Saturday, was it Colin?
Yeah. Colin said, it was a genuine mistake.
Even on live things like this, we've met the old... said the odd faux pas, have we not?
Well, I haven't. You've
something about so, offence, right? On offence at one point or another was one. But, he said he called him Darren Ferguson instead of Darren Fletcher, which I didn't even notice. So, the vast majority of the crowd didn't even notice. It was only the keen-eared people who listened to all this stuff.
But on the plus side again, there weren't too many people going off at 85 minutes.
No.
The car park cleared better. It wasn't. I mean, look at the bonuses for being a Championship club.
Yeah, look
you
at
can go to the toilet without queuing.
Yeah.
Carry on. Sorry.
Okay. Paul Sanderson says Fletcher talks total rubbish. Poe Beardo says, for goodness sake, he's even monotone in an interview as well as on the pitch. Poor Darren. I must say this on some posts I saw on yesterday evening that some people were saying that Fletcher was our best midfielder, and how worrying was that?
Well, I thought he did. I thought that there were three passes that were Charlie Adam-esque, how he cleared from one side to the other, but then they came to nothing.
Yeah, or were intercepted.
We've got 7 minutes left for you to get in your predictions for Preston and your team for Preston. And we're only going to read out the predictions that say we're going to win by at least 4 clear goals. That's a joke, by the way.
We've got 3 comments on the caption competition on that's on my feed, but also we've added in Not FM as well. Dan Mullett goes first, and he says, "You said that we'd be challenging for a title." Let me start again. You said they'd be challenging for the title. How many years have I just signed for? Daniel Stevenson says, can't believe I got a free pizza chucked in as well. And Potter's SCFC01 says, how the hell did you pull that one off? Which is very, very similar to what I think. James Boyce says, I still think we'll finish in the top two, as I believe he has the right psychology to get their minds right. They seem to be at a very low ebb, and I've been since the semi-final match at Anfield. Good God, that's a long time ago, isn't it?
It seems like years ago.
Here we go. Dan Eyre says, as an aside, Ange,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to thank you and others' work on the council. He says he'd love to have got on it too. It'll be interesting to be a fly on the wall. Keep it up and thanks. And that's German Stokey.
German Stokey, thank you very much. And please stand again next year. It will be an interesting time. One or two things have changed on the council in so much that everybody has to be elected now. There was a situation where certain supporters clubs with over 200 members could just have a seat. And we had a long, hard chat about it and decided that really, in the best interest of everybody, there's nothing to stop those branches putting a person forward, and you'd think they'd get voted on, as in fact Nipersley and Biddulph did. John Slaney, I was delighted John got back on, because they all voted for him, but every single member on that committee is voted for by the fans, and I would like to say that everybody does the best. So thanks ever so much, German Stokey.
Everybody does the best, and we don't know who voted for who, but that's the club gave the results last week, was it?
Yeah, and I'll answer that too. Let's just say you've got a situation where, for example, 7 people got in. Some people will have many more votes than others. Do you value, therefore, if you announce those people's results? It's very easy for a keyboard warrior to come on a keyboard and say, well, nobody cares what you think anyway at those meetings because you've got least votes. And I think when somebody's, this is just my own personal opinion, when somebody's giving up their own time as a volunteer, you try and remove any point of, any chance of ridicule.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. Ian Mellor says, somebody tell me how Fulham in one window spent more money than us in 10 years of being in the Premier League. Does our owner really have the best intentions at heart?
I don't know, but they lost, didn't they?
Well, yeah. Poe Beardo says, Preston rarely score more than one goal, so I'm going 1-0 to Preston. I mean, that point of being Mellors we'll come back to between now and the end of the month. Sure. We're not dismissing that at all,
are we? We've got to wait until everything's over and
I think we will, won't we?
However, I will say one thing before you monopolise the whole of the show, what's left of it. How can I put this? If they weren't thinking of buying, loaning, purchasing more people in this loan window before, then having seen the first two matches, I should think the dust is being... Yeah.
The work is going on hard. Yeah. And I presume, like I say, it can be loans with a view to a permanent in January, can't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Benny Kofobi's a loan, isn't he, at this moment?
Only because of the unusual circumstances, though, isn't it? Daniel Stevenson says he's going for Preston 2, Stoke 1. I think they will beat us unless we get our act together in terms of loan signings. And also playing proper attacking football. I just don't think we can do it with the personnel we've got, Ange. Proper attacking football. How are we going to do that with the midfield we've got? For my team versus Preston, I thought the midfield that we got against Leeds was actually going to be super solid and protect that back four like an absolute, prison cell almost. It just didn't happen at all. For my team versus Preston, Daniel Stevenson says 4-2-3-1 formation. Butland, Edwards, Williams, Suter, Bowie, Atebo, Sorensen, Ince, Bojan, McLean, and Afobe. Poe Beardo says brilliant Ange for some reason. I don't know what the hell he means by that, but there you go. Ashley Little says, because you never usually say anything funny, do you? Ashley Little says, is there an international fans rep on the council?
Yes, well, Mike Toohey is from America, and he comes over for all the meetings, and he comes over for the pre-meets.
Right, I'm going to whip through these. Polls. Williams won the Man of the Match poll with 38%. Ange, thank you to everyone who's voted on all these. Preston have won the poll. Oh, Ange, 1 point this means after three games. Preston, 40%. Stoke, 35%. Draw, 25%. May as well ask you what you think.
I think we'll lose 2-0.
I think we'll lose as well. So that's 1 point from nine. GDD. Is it time for a new club captain? 84% think yes. And a captain on the pitch, yeah. How many more players do we need before the end of the window? 3-4 won that with 62%. Do you think, but will you be surprised if Bojan leaves? Still two-thirds thought, 65% actually, Ange thought that Bojan would leave. So that's pretty sad, I think. Have the owners' administrators done enough? 89% think no, Ange, at the moment. We'll have to do that again at the end of the month. And where do you think we'll finish at the end of the season? Mid-table, 42%, Ange. So there you go. Right, Super Six. There's so many of you entered this year. We've had a lot more entering, haven't we, Ange? Have you noticed?
No.
Which is why you're in a really low place.
I knew this would get mentioned. Can I just, tonight, this is the first show of the season, could I just say we had this dramatic discussion every show until 2 weeks before the end of the season when Russ forgot to mention the Super Six scores.
Did
I? Why? Because I won it.
Who
and
says?
I will win it this year too. Carry on.
Roger Bart, before we go on to... I don't want to... I'll make you wait. I'll make you wait for this, for the embarrassment.
I'm probably a point behind you.
Roger, you've already looked, haven't you?
I haven't looked. Looked to the last day.
Roger Barnett says, best thing about Saturday for him was having an oatcake down on the canal with loads of Stokies. So
oh,
there
that's
nice.
Why didn't you invite us?
Super Six weekly results. Do you want to know now?
How many did you get?
The reason why I'm wearing this badge that Ange has finally provided to me, which is a church badge, which is a group on Facebook for Stokers, if you don't know. Martin Eagles, 18 points.
Well done, Martin.
Glenn Rospandowski. I hope I've got that right, Glenn. 17 points. Miles Grovecott, 16. The leader, he does so well, this guy. Don Mackay, 23. He's always floating around the top, isn't he?
Bit like cream.
I could have said something else then, Ange. That could have been another faux pas, couldn't it? In equal second, Miles Grovecott, Liam Evans, and Darren Evans with 22. So it's really close. Mark Green in 14th place on 18. I'm in 23rd on 15. You're in a woeful 31st with 14.
1 point difference, I told you.
And Gareth Eakin is... Gareth Eakin is on 0 points.
Come on, Adam, why haven't you joined? Gareth,
and where's Adam? I didn't see Adam. I'll have to pick Adam up. He probably has joined and
well,
I
missed
him.
Well, you don't talk to him. You might as well take
No, I do talk to him. Yeah. Roger Barney says 2-1 to Stoke.
Well done, Roger. Varna Potter says, the Stoke live stream video was very good. The audio was terrible. The commentator was sitting in a tin box, speaking into a Woolworths mic. Need the audio sorting and have the time and score on the picture. I got messages from people saying that the audio wasn't great. I went straight down because he wasn't sitting in a tin box. He was sitting in quite a sizeable room. And it was apparently a problem with the channels from the video stream provider. And it's promised that it will be fixed for next week. I did also ask them about the time and the score on the picture. They looked at me quite strangely about the score, because I suppose a nought at one end of the game will look just the same as a nought throughout the game. But as regards the time, I'm sure they'll do something on that. Thanks for your comment.
I must mention the ladies as well.
Yeah, hurry up, because we're running over.
Yes, I know we are. Well, it doesn't matter, does it? It's not the BBC, is it?
No, because you wouldn't have made that comment.
No, it wouldn't have been a big trouble. There's been a double header today with the ladies playing. Both the reserves and first team have played this afternoon. Not been a good afternoon, I'm afraid, for Stoke ladies. Reserves lost 6-3. Goals from Amy Mulcock, Nikki Groves and Jodie Foxall. They got back into it, I think 4-3 at one point, but then they moved away again. And the first team lost 3-2 to Leicester as well. A new signing, Amy Hughes, scored a goal. New forward, Ange, Amy. She scored a few in pre-season, so hopefully she'll do the business with Ashley Hayes. And Ella Pemberton scored a cracking goal, apparently. So that's what James said on Twitter. So looking forward to seeing the ladies. Just a reminder on the ladies, if you're a season ticket holder at Stoke, their home games are usually at the old Norton United ground on Community Drive. If you just take your season ticket card and show it at the entrance, you get in for free. You have to pay for the programme if you want one, but you get in for free. I'm sure the ladies would appreciate your support during the season, and because I should be there watching them for some enjoyable football, because if it's anything like last year, it will be.
Just really all that we've got to say is all I've got to say, because Russ talks so much anyway. If there are any overseas fans or any of you that want us to bring anything up from your own supporters branch or yourself regarding Stoke City for the pre-meet and for the agenda with the club, which is in September, could you email chair@scfcsc.co.uk with what you want us to discuss, and we will. We'll be back next week after the Preston game, where we'll be euphoric as hell. And it's thank you for listening. Thanks for all your comments. Thanks for putting up with us. And over to you, Russ.
Well, you're just going to go out with the hue and cry, because this is exactly what this club is at the moment.
Death.
I'll blame Darren Ferguson for that.
Baby, I can't stand it. Said I just don't want it.
And that's it.
Good night.
Good night. See you next week.